I invite you to take a Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 2. If you're using a pew Bible, you're going to be on page 831. Missed being here last week. I was worshiping with you on maybe I-65. Heard Joel's sermon, grateful for Joel and his faithfulness and leadership last week. Some of you have said, well, we can tell you were at the beach. I mean, you got some sun. The hottest, sunniest place I was all week was at a ball field with no ocean breeze. But it was good to be away. I'm grateful to be back. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 5. Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be. Who is this? Don't you know who I am? Who do you think you are? Who is this? Don't you know who I am? Who do you think you are? There's questions that I think reveal a trajectory in the human heart that you and I have seen a lot, played over and over and over again. Who is this? Sometimes you see someone who is just phenomenal at something. Maybe they're a great baseball player or soccer player or whatever sport it is that they're pursuing, and they're new onto the scene, and everybody's like, wait a minute, who is this? And we never heard of this person. You want to read the backstory, figure out all the things that they did before they got to that point. And there's a certain wonderment and wide-eyed appreciation of these new opportunities that you can just see in this person. Or maybe somebody who's a really wonderful musician, and you've never heard of them, and you saw them or heard them perform live for the first time, and you're just blown away, and you're like, who is this? Who is this person? We've never heard of them. You want to understand all their backstory and how they got to that point. And sometimes the people who you're like, who is this, eventually get to the point where they think, don't you know who I am? I am something. I'm talented. I'm famous. I come from the right place. And because of who I am, you ought to treat me in a certain way. But there are certain things that are now due me because of who I am and how great I am. One of the things that fascinates me the most about social media is to watch professional athletes make their way into the athletic venue. It's as if I'm watching people on a runway, and they come walking in with all these, what I consider to be somewhat ridiculous looking clothing, that's apparently hip. And there's this kind of like aura about them now, and everybody's like, oh, that is somebody. Wow, don't you know who they are? And oftentimes it leads to that fatal flaw in the human character where we start to ask the question, who do you think you are? When a certain amount of pride and arrogance leads someone to be presumptuous and to think that all the doors ought to open for them, that everybody ought to be so glad that they decided to show up and grace us with their presence. And oftentimes when someone gets to that level of pride or arrogance or presumptuousness, you and I would just really rather not be around them. Right? But we've seen it over and over again. Who is this? Don't you know who I am? Who do you think you are? In the passage that Joel read for us today, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And what question are they asking? Who is this? Who is this? And he's coming in all of these, the fullness of all these Old Testament messianic expectations. I mean, it is loaded, y'all. He rides in, he's riding on a donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9. Psalm 118 is in the background. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is riding into Jerusalem as the king and the Messiah of God's people. But they still don't fully understand who Jesus is. Who is this? He's the Messiah. Who is this? He is the king. But even as they say those things, they are coming with kind of worldly understandings of what those things mean. That their expectation of what Jesus is going to do is very much earthly. That he's going to come in and throw off these political powers. That he's going to set up God's kingdom on earth in a more immediate sense. And there's all this expectation, and all the people who are there, they're right. He is the Christ. He is the King. But they haven't yet understood the fullness of Jesus' identity. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives us a description of Jesus and his humility and his work on the cross that ought to leave us with a sense of awe. He says, "Have this same mind among yourselves, which is yours only in Christ Jesus." This will not be your mindset if you lean into your own power or strength or wisdom or the way things just happen in the world. The only way this mindset is a reality for us is if it is ours in Christ Jesus. Have this same mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. If you and I could somehow, by God's grace and his mercy, find ourselves way back before the beginning of the world that you and I know and experience, Jesus was there. He was there. The second person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When everything in all of creation was spoken into being, Jesus Christ was there, and if you and I could have somehow had eyes to see him, it would have been an experience that would have left us without any doubt of who he is. In all of his radiance and glory and honor, you and I would have seen him clearly as he is. But he did this beautiful, unthinkable thing for us as humans, and he laid that aside and did not see that as something to be grasped. His glory was not something that he had to hold on to, but he willingly laid that aside. And Paul says he didn't account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. In your Bible, perhaps there's a little number there, and you can look down at the bottom, and it says slave. That Jesus went from the highest position that you and I could ever conceive of someone to have. And he humbled himself and he emptied himself. And all along the way, you hear the language that he wasn't forced to do this. That he willingly lived into God the Father's plan for him. He emptied himself and took on the very form of a servant or the very form of a slave. God in his providence and his wisdom saw fit to send his son into the world to be our perfect savior in such a way that you and I wouldn't recognize him immediately in the flesh. He took on the likeness of humanity. He walked around the earth just like you and me. As you pass people on the street, oftentimes, you and I, we don't give a second thought to who we're passing, do we? Jesus would have fallen into that category that he was made like us in every respect. He humbled himself and he took on the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. How many of you like being obedient? Now, those of us who are parents, we act like that's a good thing to do. We're like, kids, you should become obedient. But then, if we're honest, those of us who are adults and we're further along the way, that's not really something that we just aspire to. Today, I wonder how I could be obedient. And why is that? Because there's a part of our human hearts where we think we're really important, that we think we're really smart, that we think we know better than other people. And even if it is the Lord's commands upon our lives, there's something in us where we're like, ugh, I don't really want to be obedient. It almost feels demeaning to us. And Jesus, the Son of God incarnate, he became obedient. Even to the point of what? Death. Even, Paul says, just to make it clear, even death on a what? On a cross. Now, most of you, as I look out, are like me. What do we have on our clothing today? We have a cross. And if we're not careful, we romanticize what this cross stands for. An instrument of death. And a very public and a very humiliating type of death. As we walk through this week, we're going to be reminded of all the ways in which Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death on a cross. And he's going to be stripped. And he's going to be publicly beaten. And he's going to be spat upon. And he's going to be ridiculed, and so much of the ridicule is going to relate to this idea of who he is. You can hear those words, if you are the Son of God, what? Come down from that cross. The temptation that he experienced in the wilderness. Be all these things. Show us who you are in your power and your strength. And at every point along the way, Jesus entrusted himself to his faithful Father. He humbled himself at every point along the way. And the thing that strikes me in the Passion narratives is that Jesus doesn't respond. He's silent, like a sheep led to slaughter. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a part of me that I think if I was in his place, oh, don't you feel it? You're going to be like, all right, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm calling down the thunder. And you're going to see. Right? Jesus doesn't do that. Every point along the way, he embraces a humility and an obedience and a trust in God the Father that you and I quite honestly find unfathomable. And what can happen in the Christian life is that you and I can take that same trajectory of pride of the heart, and there can be a moment when you and I come to saving faith in Jesus, and we're just in awe of God's grace and mercy in our lives. Mary tells a story of her own coming to faith in Jesus, and she tells a story of running to the telephone. This is back when we'd only had like one phone in the house, and she could not reach it. And climbing up on a chair and calling everybody she knew and sharing the good news of what God had done in her life, right? And it might be that you can remember that in your life, But the farther you get away from the understanding of your sin and your need for grace and mercy, what can start happening in your heart and life is you can start thinking, I am somebody. I am pretty good and righteous. I do go to church all the time, and I do teach Bible study, and I do give, and I do. And if you're not careful, you and I can develop this presumptuousness in our hearts where we think, I am somebody. And we may move from, who am I, to I am somebody. And if you're not careful, you get to that last category, and people look at you and they say, who in the world do you think you are? In the book of Philippians, Paul is writing to them to allow the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to transform how they live in relationship with each other. There's a verse in Philippians 2 that just like, verse Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent and I may hear of you, that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Paul's calling them to this radical sense of unity that is really hard to experience when pride and arrogance is operating in the community. One heart, one mind, in full accord, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Skip down to chapter 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility do what? Count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That as followers of Jesus Christ, everything that we're building up to this week ought to remind us that what God has called us to as his people is to live into this idea of awe that God would allow us to be a part of what he's done in Jesus, and this humility of heart would be up and running among us, and we would look at each other in a way that shows forth the love and the mercy and the humility and the kindness of Jesus, we start to then be transformed and love others in that same way. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This humility that marks Jesus ought to mark every aspect of our lives and who we are as followers of Jesus. And it ought to be one of the characteristics that's up and running in the life of Mount Brook Baptist Church in such a way that we realize and we remember that everything that happens here, ultimately, it's not about us. That we get a really short time on earth. Some of you are aware of it. You're like, yeah, feels very short. Whatever's left feels very short. Some of you, you can't even conceive of a time when you didn't exist or won't exist. It's just true. You're just, everything's out in front of you, right? But the reality is that you and I get such a small amount of time on this earth, and the thing that will satisfy the joy of desires of our hearts will not be moving up and being impressive. It will not have an office or a nameplate or for somebody to remember us for how great we were. When you get to the end of your life, you will not care. Nobody will be like, man, that person was talented. That person was amazing. That person was unapproachable. The thing that they'll remember about us is the way that we humbled ourselves and moved toward others in an effort to steward what God's entrusted to us, that they might know and experience the eternal and abundant life that God would have for them to know in Jesus. We will all be humbled one day. All of us. And the thing now is to live into God's call upon us in Christ and humble ourselves and walk in obedience to who God's called us to be in Jesus. And the thing that you find is that that's where life is. Teaching Sunday school. Stewarding your time and your talents and your efforts on things like committees. Any of you, when you hear the word committee, you're just like, man, I'm fired up about that. Quietly serving in some way, everybody's like, who is that? I'm not sure, but they're handing out worship guides. Right. Who's keeping the nursery today? I bet you don't know. Right. Quietly, faithfully using what God's entrusted that others might experience eternal and abundant life in Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews would say that Jesus did all this, why? For the joy that was set before him. So ask the Lord this week to keep you in awe of who he is and what God's done for you in Christ. There is to be a certain like, man, how in the world would he do this for me? And if there are places in your heart where if you're honest, you're like, I am somebody, just ask the Lord to take that from you. And to keep you from ever becoming the kind of person somebody has to walk in and be like, who do you think you are? One of the things Mary says sometimes on the podcast is that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. All of us have the same need. All of us have the same salvation and grace in Jesus, and all of us are called to steward that, not for ourselves, but for the good of the kingdom and others. I pray during this Holy Week that the Lord would work that in us by the power of his Spirit. I'd like you to pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness and your love for us. Help us to remember the awe that perhaps we one time felt about your grace and your mercy in our lives. Help us this week to walk in the way of Jesus and to remember that Jesus was glorified. He was seen as being the Savior, not sitting on a throne, but humbling himself even to the point of death on a cross. Pray that you would remind us of the glory of Jesus, the overwhelming love he's shown us, Lord, and that you would work that same attitude and characteristic in our heart that we might show forth the love of Jesus in our lives. We thank you for your goodness and kindness to us, and we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus, or you feel like the Lord's calling you to unite with us and be a member here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you, or if your response is to stand, sing, and pray where you are, however God leads you to respond, and invite you to join me as we stand together.